behavioral health for people 65 and older in outpatient or inpatient settings. FrisbeeHospital.com.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. One writer called it the unfinished chapter of the Affordable Care Act, Medicaid expansion. The story began last summer when the U.S. Supreme Court upheld most of the ACA. But with the expansion of Medicaid, the justices said, let the states decide whether or not to extend the program to more residents. Right now, Medicaid provides coverage to a limited group of low-income individuals like pregnant women or people with disabilities. The ACA had wanted states to expand that pool to a much bigger group. All adults making up to 138% of the federal poverty level. But the Supreme Court said the feds couldn't force states to do that. And so ever since that ruling came down, states have been wrestling with this question of expansion. At this point, roughly half have said yes and about half have said no, with a few outliers still trying to decide, including New Hampshire. A special Granite State Commission met on the issue over the summer. It released its recommendations just last week. In a nutshell, it said yes to expanding, but in a very different way from what the Affordable Care Act envisioned. Now the commission's report goes to the legislature, where Governor Hassan has called a special session on this for November. Today in The Exchange, movement on Medicaid, but what direction is still unclear? Let's hear from you. Should New Hampshire expand Medicaid or not? What questions do you have about the unique way that this state might possibly do it? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, keep them short, theexchange@nhpr.org is the address, or post a comment on our Facebook page. Our two guests for the hour are both members of that commission that I just mentioned. Representative Cindy Rosenwald is here. She's a Democratic state representative from Nashua, vice chair of the House Finance Committee, with a long policy expertise in human services and Medicaid. And Representative Rosenwald, thanks for coming in. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Laura. It's great to be here.
Also with us, Charlie Arlinghouse, president of the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy, a free market think tank based in Concord, and as I said, a member of that special Medicaid commission. And Charlie, welcome back. It's nice to see you, too.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'll turn to you first, Representative Rosenwald, but I want to hear from both of you just real broadly, and then we'll get into detail, but real broadly first, how do you feel about what you ended up with?
Well, I feel pretty good about it after 3.5 months of work. We came out with what I think is a balanced and consensus approach, which is what the public, I think, really wants to see out of its elected officials. And it's an approach that takes into account our shared values and respects our people and our healthcare providers and also our insurance carriers.
Often called a New Hampshire solution to this problem, not
exactly
a one-size-fits-all federal government
and
solution.
And it's a real consensus approach.
And we'll get into the details for sure in just a minute. But Charlie, how do you feel about the final product?
I think that the commission itself was had some very interesting moments, and that ultimately, in the political process, the decision-making is happening outside of that process, and the commission product will have probably very little impact on what the final decision is.
Even with all that work you folks put in over the summer, too, by the way.
Yeah, we can talk later about the work that we did and the work that we didn't do. But I think that, if, for example, the plan that was ultimately adopted is more or less what was presented by the department on the first day we met. And I think that, which is fine, but ultimately some sort of a negotiated product will happen. And none of the people doing that negotiating were really part of the commission. And that's all happening outside of that. So that if the commission proposal is what goes forward, it won't pass the Senate. But it is something the governor very much wants. So it, at the end of the day, the governor and the Senate president are going to have to come up with a deal, and it's going to look very different from that. And I don't think anybody in any of us in this room know exactly what's going on in that discussion right now.
So, Charlie, just quick remind us, how did the Affordable Care Act envision states expanding Medicaid? I mean, if supporters of the ACA had their perfect world, what would Medicaid expansion look like? And then we'll talk about how this commission alternative might be a little bit different. Go ahead.
Well, it's important to understand what Medicaid is and what Medicaid isn't today, as opposed to what it would be, which are two very different things. a lot of times we think of, you know, Medicaid as health care for low-income people. And in New Hampshire, and in, frankly, in most states, that's not really the case. Senator Gilmore, who's on the commission, once said that it's for people who are poor and something else. In fact, generally speaking, you have to meet a categorical eligibility limit. And in some of those categories, and categories are things like you need to be disabled below a certain income limit. You need to be or elderly or pregnant or have breast cancer or in the case of most of our welfare recipients, be a child. That means that there is a big chunk of people, mostly childless adults and some parents, between 0% and 138% of federal poverty who are not covered at all. So what this would do is change this from a categorical eligibility program where you have to be certain things to basically be an income-based program where everybody below a certain level would get it. And in those categories, you would get it well up into the middle class.
So it's a big change. Right now, it's a pretty limited group of low-income individuals. This would extend it to almost everybody below a certain poverty.
It's a category pays. We can argue whether it's limited or not. There are something like, on average month, about 135,000 people on Medicaid. So it's a fairly extensive program in terms of how it affects. And this would add, estimates are between 40 and 60,000 additional people to that program. Essentially, the ACA envisioned just taking that group of that population and putting them on whatever Medicaid program your state has. You know, there's some nuances to that, but generally speaking, that's the case. As this has gone forward, a lot of states have looked at different things. And New Hampshire was particularly motivated by the fact that, you know, we think of this as taking people who don't have insurance and giving them Medicaid. But in fact, about half of the people that would be eligible for this already do have insurance.
All right.
And so we take that into account.
Let me invite our listeners to join us, and then I have a question for you, Representative Rosenwald. The number for you to join us here in the exchange as we talk about Medicaid expansion, what New Hampshire might do with this when it meets in special session next month, is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. With us this hour, two members of a special commission that looked at New Hampshire options all summer for possible Medicaid expansion. We're talking about what they came to last week in terms of an agreement and what may happen to that agreement when it hits the legislature. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange. Representative Rosenwald, so Charlie described how Medicaid works now, how the Affordable Care Act hoped states would expand it. What's this New Hampshire solution that we keep hearing about that the commission you folks were on came up with? How does that look different?
Sure. Well, Charlie mentioned that about half the people have access to some insurance right now.
Private insurance at
private
their jobs.
Private insurance at their jobs, maybe in the high-risk pool in some other way. Some of that insurance is very good and some has less benefits. But the solution that the commission came up with, which was very interesting and very different from what was initially proposed by the governor and adopted by the House in our budget in March, is to say to people, if you have access to insurance for your job, you must take it and we will help you pay for it or the Medicaid program will pay for it. The difference that's really key is we have to ask the federal government for permission to make that a requirement.
You have to get a waiver from the federal government.
Exactly.
Have other states done that requirement, Representative Rosenwald, required that before poor adults get Medicaid coverage, if they've got coverage already, they have to keep that?
The state of Iowa has applied to do that. They have not yet received permission.
Okay, so we're still waiting to see what they do with that. Well, obviously, Charlie, that saves New Hampshire money. What are the other possible benefits of doing it that way?
Well, you know, one of the things that people look at is that if you're a provider in New Hampshire, in any state, really, if you have too many Medicaid patients, you go bankrupt. And the reason for that is that private insurance pays three times what Medicaid pays. Medicaid is not really a program that pays for the cost of health care. It's a program where we tell providers, you must do this, and we're going to throw a little money at you, but it's not going to be anywhere near what it costs you. You're going to lose money on all these patients, and we expect you to make that money up somewhere else. Where exactly the cost break is a matter of some debate, I'm sure, between providers and insurance companies and all that. But generally speaking, private insurance rates provide what the payments are about half. You go to your doctor, you pay. You go to your doctor, you pay three times what the state would pay your doctor for the person on Medicaid. So, you know, one of the reasons you want to keep people on private insurance is to pay those private rates. The thought is that if somebody has health insurance, particularly if it's employer sponsored health insurance, that the department's estimate of the cost of the state would be, instead of about $6,000 per person, it would be, they hope, about $2,000 per person. And that's very important. The other thing that we didn't talk about much is that so expansion would theoretically go to 138% of federal poverty if it were to happen. But above 100% of federal poverty, you have access to significantly subsidized coverage through the exchanges. And I know the exchanges are sort of a mess right now, but the theory is that at some point they won't be a mess. But in fact, what you pay is capped very significantly. At 100% of federal poverty, it would be a few hundred dollars.
Yeah, and as we talk about, you know, X percent of poverty and 138% of poverty is the Affordable Care Act envisions Medicaid expansion. What are we talking about in terms of people dollars, Representative Rosenwald?
138% of the federal poverty level is about $15,000 for an individual, a little bit more.
That's your annual salary,
$15,000. Yes, your modified adjusted gross income.
Wow, that's pretty low.
It's pretty low. 100% of poverty for one person is $11,000.
So I was kind of surprised to hear that half of the folks who could be eligible for Medicaid under expansion do get insurance through their employers. It seems like a lot of those super-duper low-wage jobs don't provide insurance. I was surprised by that.
Well, let's say they have access to it. Right now, many of them can't afford it.
So can you elaborate on that, Representative Rosenwald?
Well, I mean, they may have access to employer-sponsored insurance, but without subsidies or help, their income is so low, they can't afford to get it. So they remain uninsured.
So the monthly premiums and the copays and so forth. But there's help with that, isn't it? Isn't there, Charlie?
There's some help with that, but we should say that the exact percentage who have access to it, we're not really sure about, but we know that the percentage who actually have insurance is 42%. The percentage with access to insurance is significantly higher than 42%. Part of that is New Hampshire has significantly greater employer-sponsored health insurance than the national average. And the other thing is that a lot of people who employ a lot of low-wage people do, in fact, pay for health insurance, much more so than you would think if you just read the newspaper.
Okay. Well, a lot more to talk about after a short break. We're going to check in now with NHPR's Fall Membership Drive.
NHPR is NPR News. It's also good companionship. Maybe that's why you listen. We're here when you want us, thanks to listener contributions. And in that vein, many thanks to everyone who donated during Morning Edition. We made our goal for Morning Edition this morning. We also made our $5,000 challenge, thanks to those of you who donated and a crew of generous donors who gave us this challenge fund. Lou Feldstein, Marty Gross, Janet Price, and Peter Berg. They will contribute $5,000 to NHPR in addition to the money we've already raised. So many thanks to them. Now, please make your contribution now, though, because we still have more of the drive to go. It is Fall Fund Drive. You can donate at nhpr.org or go ahead and give us a call at 1-888-805-6477. I'm Amanda Loader, here with Michael Brindley.
Meeting that challenge during Morning Edition is huge for us. We have another goal this hour during the exchange, $2,500 to raise in the next 40 minutes. We can do that. Every call counts. Every contribution counts. $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever works for you. Meeting these goals is critical to make sure NHPR has the money needed to pay for the exchange in the months to come. Please go online to nhpr.org. Help us meet this ambitious goal. You can also give us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
And you can't get to the State House regularly to talk to policymakers about things like Medicaid expansion, so the exchange brings them to you so you can ask the questions you want answers to. It really is a public square here at NHPR, and we bring you the exchange thanks to listener financial support. That is key here. So please give as generously as you can right now. Call 1-888 805-6477, or you can also donate online at nhpr.org.
We just got an update, $2,100 to go. You're answering the call. We appreciate your support. Now it's time for those other listeners to step up to the plate. Now is your chance to also get into the last two giveaways of this membership drive. We're giving away a MacBook Air laptop tomorrow at 9 a.m. and a $1,000 Amazon gift card tomorrow night at 7. Those are two great gifts. All you have to do is call and contribute to your favorite radio station. It's that easy. New Hampshire Public Radio. Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477, or you can go online and donate there at nhpr.org.
And major issues, they're rarely black and white. Stories don't just have two perspectives, just my side and your side, or maybe three if you count the other guy's side. There's historical perspective, there's social perspective, and there's ideas and points of view that you might not even have imagined. But The Exchange does its best to bring all of those to you. So support your source for comprehensive coverage and diverse opinions. Support The Exchange, support NHPR, and give us a call at 1-888-805-6477, or make an online donation at nhpr.org.
You're thinking to yourself, where do I start to become a sustaining member? How does $10 a month sound? That not only gets you into the two giveaways, it also gets you our thank you gift, the Clean Canteen. It's a 20-ounce thermos, stainless steel, double-walled vacuum insulation that keeps your hot drinks hot, keeps your cold drinks cold, and it's got that snazzy NHPR logo on it. Lets people know that you're supporting the station that you rely on for news and information in the Granite State. Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
And the gap between listener support and federal support, it is really big, and it's not going to shrink pretty much ever. So that's really where you come in. It's your financial support added with other NHPR listeners is how we pay the bills. That sounds, I'm a business reporter, that sounds like a pretty risky proposition, but in reality, we don't think so. We trust you to pitch in a few dollars to pay for the news you listen to on the good old honor system. 1-888-805-6477 is how you donate, or you can also make a secure donation at nhpr.org.
Once again, this hourly goal, $2,100. This is your chance to support The Exchange directly. Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477. We have two great giveaways, the MacBook Air laptop, Amazon gift card. Donate online at nhpr.org. It's safe and secure, and we appreciate your support.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and additional support comes to us from Mill Falls at the Lake, four inns offering Winnipesaukee Lakefront Lodging, seven restaurants, 12 marketplace shops, the Cascade Spa, and the Sacred Waters Yoga Studio, millfalls.com. From Bedford Falls Assisted Living and Memory Care, offering a monthly Alzheimer's Caregivers Book Club, a copy of the book, The Forgetting, may be reserved by calling 471-2555. And New Hampshire School Administrators Association, co-sponsors of the 27th Kristen McAuliffe Technology Conference in Manchester, December 3rd through the 5th, nhcmtc.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, a Medicaid expansion update. The special commission that debated New Hampshire options all summer has made its report. Two members of that commission are with us now to talk about what happened, where this idea might go from here. They are Representative Cindy Rosenwald, a Democrat from Nashua, and Charlie Arlinghouse of the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy. One more time, The Exchange number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Should New Hampshire expand Medicaid or not? What questions do you have about the unique way that New Hampshire might possibly do this? We've been talking about some of the differences earlier. 1-800-892-6477 is our number. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And let's go to the phones, both of you. And John's waiting in Nashua. Hi, John, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I was calling because way back in the day, and by that I mean a couple of years ago, I was self-employed, living considerably below the federal poverty line. But as a male childless adult, I wasn't able to hop onto Medicaid. And, I mean, you know, to be fair, I looked as hard as I could for, you know, options for me, for myself. Might not have been able to find something that was actually out there, but as far as I could tell, there was really nothing for me. As someone, I actually have bipolar disorder, so I need daily medication, and ideally I should have therapy. unfortunately, because I was uninsured, you know, these treatments were really expensive. So ultimately, I had to retire and move on into the real employment world, where I am now, living comfortably, insured and medicated. But you know, because of my experience, the you know idea of Medicaid expansion really does resonate with me and mean a lot to me. I was actually kind of shocked when I wasn't able to get on before. So
yeah, we talked earlier about and thank you, John. We talked earlier before about how this doesn't apply to everybody right now. People think it covers all low-income individuals, and it doesn't. What does this story say to you, Representative Rosenwald? And Charlie, I want to hear from you, too.
Well, John brings up a really important point about Medicaid expansion, and that is for this population, if we expand Medicaid, there will be a requirement that mental health treatment be covered. And that is a big difference from our current Medicaid program. And I think it would be very helpful because what we've heard from the department is that many people who are low income, underemployed, do have some mental health needs that could be addressed with Medicaid.
What do you think, Charlie?
One of the goals of any kind of expansion would be to target people specifically like John or like John was, I guess we should say, who don't have insurance, who have health needs that they need to get at. One of the concerns any program has unintended consequences, and one of the things you look at is how much money are we spending, and how are we targeting that money, and who are we targeting it to, and the reason to do a program like a premium support program and things like that is that we know that in states that have expanded to this population before, the childless adult population that's not covered in or was not covered in most states, that for the most part, in fact, statistically, they would see things where the uninsured rate didn't change at all, and the percentage of private insurance declined by the percentage that Medicaid went up. Private insurance went down 6 points. Medicaid went up 6 points.
So people did drop their private insurance,
and so
didn't seek it in those states that expanded.
And the goal of the program is not to replace people who have existing private insurance with Medicaid. The goal is to try to find people who have fallen through the cracks like John did. And it's why one of the things that people talk about is trying to keep as many people as possible on private insurance. There is, in the majority proposal out of the commission, there is that proposal. On the other hand, there are a whole bunch of people who are eligible for exchange-based insurance, and we're not going to require them to get exchange-based insurance and then try to subsidize that. And we're not showing a lot of concern, at least in that program, about the total percentage of the state's population that shifts into Medicaid.
So you said the magic word, Charlie, that I think we need to talk about a little bit more, premium support. So if you are a low-income adult like John and you have access to private insurance, but, gosh, it just feels way too expensive, under this sort of New Hampshire alternative that people are talking about, the state or the federal government in this instance helps you pay for those expensive premiums and deductibles and so forth.
The state would be called
the HIP program, right?
The federal government would be required. So one way that some states do this is we say, okay, you have insurance, but it has deductibles. So the state's essentially going to pay your deductibles and co-pays for you. So that because Medicaid covers, admittedly by under reimbursing providers, but Medicaid covers first dollar coverage, and the state would have what you might call a wraparound plan to pay for that. One way to do that is our state's existing HIP program, which we don't know a lot about, and there are other states that have a HIP program. There are other states that have similar programs. There's a program in Oklahoma that I'm aware of, for example. There's a program in Indiana that does it a very different way through an HSA approach. Some of those states have been renewed only temporarily. The federal government with ACA doesn't like you trying new things when they have an off-the-shelf product you can use instead. And I think there are ways to do that. But
Cindy Rosenwald, do you want to jump in there
on this
HIP program? Because we were talking during the break. I mean, before the Affordable Care Act came up, I had never even heard of this HIP program. Again, it helps you pay for premiums, deductibles if you're low income and can't afford it. How come people don't know about this?
Well, first of all, Laura, I'd like to go back to something that Charlie said a few minutes ago, and that was that in states with early expansion of Medicaid to low-income adults, there was not a statistically significant decrease in the rate of uninsurance. Actually, if you split it out prior to the Great Recession and post-Great Recession, the rate of uninsurance was declining until so many people started losing their jobs, they lost access to employer insurance. So I think I disagree with him there. And we saw that we had testimony about that from the state of Maine, for example. The premium support issue is a little bit different from HIP, I think what Charlie is getting at. And in order to make that required, it has to be cost effective. So it can't cost the federal government more. And if reimbursements to providers are higher in private insurance, there's a risk.
So that's where the federal waiver comes in.
Cost more, right. And it's incumbent upon states to show that it's not going to cost the federal government more.
Ooh, it's complicated. Charlie Arlinghaus, go ahead, and then I've got an email I want to share.
The Representative Rosenwald's comment about what the data shows is typical of a lot of the things about this issue. I've looked at this data. I've graphed this data. I've plugged it into an Excel spreadsheet. I tracked it against New Hampshire's data. And I reached, in fact, very much the opposite conclusion she does. And I would look at that data and think to myself, you can't possibly be looking at the same number that I'm looking at and say that. Now, I say that not to say that Representative Rosenwald is wrong, because she's looked at the same data and she reaches a conclusion that I find utterly bizarre. And this is true of so much of the Medicaid debate, is that people will look at the same numbers. We had testimony from the state of Maine. In fact, we had a lot of testimony about what happened in Maine that contradicts each other. And we had, and in fact, we did, you know, if you wanted to actually look into numbers and study them, you had to do that outside of the commission, because questioning was frowned on.
So the question is, that you're saying is unresolved, Charlie, the question is whether folks who were on newly given Medicaid, whether all of a sudden they go off their private insurance because Medicaid is better. That's the question.
It's not exactly unresolved, because to some extent what we're talking about are statistical noise. We know in some individuals' case this makes a lot of sense. There is no question that in any expansion of public insurance, there is something that's called crowd out, where some percentage of people on private insurance shift instead to public insurance. And it doesn't, you know, as the number of people on public insurance increased over 20 years, the number of uninsured also increased over 20 years, which is not the effect we're looking for. But there's not a one-to-one correlation. What we know is we want to minimize that to as great an extent as possible. We want to keep as many people as possible on private insurance. We don't want to use any expansion of Medicaid to merely replace private insurance. We'd like to target it as best we could anyway to people who are not insured.
Those who truly need it, so to speak. Do you agree with that, Representative Rosenwald?
I do, and not only because it keeps people in their private insurance, which is, I think, means less of people in their lives, but it also means potentially better reimbursements for doctors and hospitals.
Again, our phone number for you to join us with your questions and comments about possible Medicaid expansion here in New Hampshire and what a Granite State approach to this might look like is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Give us a call with your questions about how this might proceed or your comments on whether you think New Hampshire should proceed with this option or not. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And here's an email, both of you, from Catherine and Meredith, who says, what will happen to people under 100% of the federal poverty level if New Hampshire does not expand Medicaid? Thanks, Catherine, for the email. Representative Rosenwald, do you know?
Well, that's the dilemma Catherine brings up. People whose incomes are above $11,000 do have access to subsidies and credits. through the health insurance marketplaces. However, as we know, when Congress wrote the law, Medicaid expansion was mandatory. So there was no subsidy or credit for people whose incomes were below 100% of poverty. If we don't expand Medicaid, the situation, unfortunately, will not change for those individuals in New Hampshire. And there are about 47,000 people in New Hampshire whose income is below 100% of poverty who are currently uninsured.
So you have a situation where people who are not poor, middle-income people, lower-middle-income people, are able to get subsidies to shop on the exchanges, but people who are very poor but don't fall into one of these other categories, pregnant, disabled, they're out of luck.
That's right. Exactly. The very poorest people in New Hampshire would continue to not have access to affordable, quality health insurance.
What other options are there for those folks, Charlie, if Medicaid is not expanded? What do you think?
Well, I think there are a lot of different options, and I think one of the reasons that I think this is not just a yes or no question is that I think there's a great deal of sympathy for people for the zero to 100, the sort of donut hole. And it's important to note about this that this is not something that the state has been trying to, this is not an issue that the state has been trying to approach for decades. You know, nobody introduced a bill in 2011, 2010, 2009, 2008, 2007, 2006, 2005, 2004 to try to cover this population.
To provide coverage
and
to,
so,
again, those low-income adults.
Right. And yeah. Early on, there was, I mean, and so for 50 years, the thought, because, you know, for the 50 years of the Medicaid program, that's been the thought, that this population is largely childless adults, as opposed to, you know, the things are targeted toward kids. 56% of all Medicaid patients are kids. There is some coverage for parents in this group. There's coverage for pregnant women. There's coverage for some other categories. But this has not been approached. So there's some thought that we should try to find something to do, find some sort of find something whether we expand or not. But I think it's why that there are multiple approaches to expansion is because what a lot of people do is they look at this and say, all right, let's say we change Medicaid to become a essentially a social welfare program for health insurance targeted on that basis. There's a proposal that the governor proposed to the legislature and in fact what the majority of the Sherman plan of the commission adopted, which is to take one category, breast and cervical cancer patients, and take everybody above a certain income level who's eligible for exchange coverage and move them out of Medicaid into the exchange. They're still covered. They're covered a different way. And they're covered the way the vast majority of the population is. There's some thought about, all right, if we're going to do that, we have 135,000 people, you know, more than 10% of the state, and significantly more than 10% of the under 65 population, on Medicaid. If we don't want to increase that percentage, what if we said, all right, you want to cover everybody below 138%? Let's put the people above that or above 100% on the exchange, which exists.
All right. Well, what to do about this issue, some of the best ideas that are out there, and maybe they're not the ideas that the commission came up with. We'll talk about that after a short break. We need to check in now, though, with how our fall membership drive is going.
NHPR and The Exchange are here for you every day to keep you informed, introducing you to new ideas, to make your life more interesting. All of that is made possible through listener contributions. It's our fall fund drive. Please make your contribution now. Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or give online at nhpr.org. I'm Michael Brinley. Here's Amanda Loader with more.
And we have been whittling away at our hourly goal. We have $1,600 left. That is $1,600 left to raise in the next 20 minutes to support The Exchange and other programming on NHPR. You can help us meet this important goal and keep our fund drive on track by giving right now at 1-888-805-6477. Your financial support will ensure that the programs you enjoy and the news you trust will be here every day on NHPR. You can also give online at nhpr.org. There are a lot of folks doing just that. Again, you can make a secure web pledge as well as calling in, if you like, at nhpr.org.
Radio at its most basic level is a conversation between two people, offering you just a fly on the wall listening to that conversation. And when the conversations are as interesting as the ones you hear on NHPR, it's pretty exciting to be that fly on the wall. But when the conversation is a subject that is near and dear, you want to put your two cents in. And that's one of the reasons we started the exchange here at NHPR. So you could ask a question, make a comment about the issues that affect all of us as a state. Your support makes the conversations on the exchange like you're hearing right now. It makes that possible. So why not give us a call right now at 1-888-805-6477 to make your contribution to the exchange, or give online at nhpr.org.
And if you make your contribution right now, you'll be entered into the last two giveaways of the membership drive. We're giving away a MacBook Air laptop tomorrow at 9 o'clock and a $1,000 Amazon gift card tomorrow night at 7. But you might not be at your radio at those times, so it's really important that you go ahead and give us a call now. You can support your NHPR listening, and you're in both giveaways. That is the last two giveaways of the fund drive. So give us a call at 1-888-805-6477. You can also give online at nhpr.org. And you don't have to pledge to be entered, but we sure do hope you will.
We have $1,600 to go left this hour. We can do that about 18 minutes. The clock is ticking away. This is your chance to contribute directly to the exchange, the program that you rely on for the updated conversations of news and issues going on in the Granite State. Chances are that you spend 10, 12, maybe even 14 hours a week listening to NHPR, and you get more from us than just good programs. Think about the books you're reading, the movies you see, or conversations you have with friends. They often all tie back to the news and information you hear on NHPR. We hope you make that contribution to NHPR right now. Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or contribute online at nhpr.org.
We have about 17 minutes now to raise $1,600. So what is that? About $100 a minute, give or take. So we do need you to go ahead and make that call. Support Laura on the exchange, support her producers, and of course, all of that wonderful programming that you depend on for from NHPR. We also have a new thank you gift this fall fund drive. It is the Blue Nano brand Bluetooth speaker. There we go. It can be used with any Bluetooth enabled device. It's a really nifty little speaker. It's about the size of a golf ball, and you can leave your device in one room, take the speaker with you. You can get it for a $20 sustaining contribution. So give us a call, 1-888-805-6477, or go to nhpr.org.
Many listeners don't make contributions to NHPR because they don't think they listen enough. Let's put it this way. If you can tell what time of the day it is by what program is on NHPR, I'm pretty sure you meet that minimum threshold. So why not give us a call right now? Donate to the programs that you love. Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477, or you can give online at safeandsecure at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and additional support comes to us from the Clean Bedroom Organic Mattress and Bedding Showroom in Kittery, Maine, helping you create eco-friendly sleep environments, also on the web at thecleanbedroom.com. From Seacoast Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, hosting a community lecture on arthritis management with Dr. Moby Parsons October 30th at 6 p.m. at Frisbee Hospital, sosmed.org. And the Black New England Conference at UNH Huddleston Hall, October 25th and 26th, with keynote speaker Cheryl Lee Ralph of TV's Moesha. Registration at PortsmouthHistory.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, how much arsenic is around us? We'll find out tomorrow. Email us your comments and questions before the show at exchange@nhpr.org, and be sure to join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today in The Exchange, a Medicaid expansion update. As we've been hearing, the special commission that debated New Hampshire options all summer made its report just last week. Two members of that commission are with us now to talk about what happened, where we might go from here. Charlie Arlinghouse is with us with the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy, where he's the president of that think tank, and also with us, Representative Cindy Rosenwald, a Democratic state rep from Nashua. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And to the point, Representative Rosenwald, that Charlie Arlinghouse was making before the break, he was starting to talk about other possibilities to expand coverage to this population of low-income adults who don't get Medicaid coverage now, other ways to do it that we're not looking at yet. What do you think? Is what the commission came up with the way to go, or are there other ideas that could be just as good?
Thanks for the question. I think what the commission came up with is certainly the most efficient way to approach it, and the most efficient way for New Hampshire taxpayers. And specifically, if you're talking about people under 100% of poverty without taking advantage of the Medicaid expansion that we are talking about now, New Hampshire would not get the increased federal financial participation. So we would get our regular, generally 50% federal funds for every dollar that we spend. We would only have to pay for half of that. I've looked at what it would mean to our state budget if New Hampshire were to try and say to the federal government, let us just expand Medicaid to those under 100% of poverty. They have said they will not give the enhanced federal match, the 100% for 3 years, 90% in the future.
A big chunk of change.
A big chunk of change.
A lot of states
that
want.
That would cost the taxpayers of New Hampshire $140 million in general funds a year.
So you have to do it up to 138%.
Yes, you do. You can ask for a waiver to treat different groups in different ways. We also on the commission looked at another plan, a catastrophic coverage plan presented by a staff writer from Forbes magazine.
The Avik Roy plan, right?
Ovik. I think he pronounces it. That would actually cost, if you looked at the whole population of people below 100% of poverty in New Hampshire without insurance, it would cost us $75 million a year in state general funds. This is just way more expensive. We don't have a revenue source for that, and I don't think there's an appetite for a new broad-based tax.
So are you saying, Representative Rosenwald, that this is the way to go, that basically we do this New Hampshire take on what the Affordable Care Act wants New Hampshire to do? That's the best way to do it, given especially that chunk of change
given the expansion of our premium assistance health insurance program, the HIP program, I think it is the way to go, because it is not until state fiscal year 20, so 7 years from now, that there is any net general fund increase.
Charlie, let me ask you this. Democrats on the panel, like Representative Rosenwald, said, hey, you know, we are really giving a New Hampshire take on this. We're using private insurance to the fullest extent possible. Again, HIP program, not to get too detailed, but that would help people pay for premiums and deductibles so they could stay on private insurance. Is this an approach that a conservative could love?
No. At the end of the day, there are significant financial costs to this program. There are significant financial question marks, which we didn't really have the opportunity to go into. So, for example, when we were debating the notion of putting in some kind of a trigger on federal coverage, on state costs, et cetera, one of the things that a couple of us, Representative Kirk and I in particular, talked about doing was looking at the budget numbers that we're putting out there and saying, because keep in mind this is a program that will cost us probably about $40 million a year when it's fully implemented,
even with the federal match.
There's an enticement period in the beginning. For the first 3 years, there's 100% federal match, and then it ratchets down to 90. But at the end of that enticement period, it's about $40 million a year. Roughly based on their estimates. When we looked at that and said, all right, what if we capped our cost of that and said that we need a waiver for this, but that doesn't matter. And said that we will cap the cost. They said, you know what? These numbers are very sketchy and you can't rely on them for making kind of cost estimates. And I say that not to say that anyone did a bad job with the numbers, but it's a very uncertain program with significant financial cost to it. It is a restructuring of an existing program we have to cover a population for very noble reasons. I think there's the possibility to find a great deal of common ground, but I think it would involve the federal government has said, we won't do this, we won't do this. The federal government has also done things in the last 6 months that they had previously said they wouldn't do. We will not reauthorize Oklahoma's Insure Oklahoma program, but then they did. We will not reauthorize Indiana's program, But then they did. There are things that were considered impossible 6 months ago that aren't now. I would look at this and I would say, if you're going to expand the number of people on Medicaid, let's also reduce the number of people on Medicaid who are eligible for a different kind of coverage. I think that at some point there's common ground to be found there. Would you have to ask the federal government for a waiver? Yes. But if you're going to have to ask the federal government for waivers, people need to know this on Medicaid. We play Mother May I with the government all the time. We can't do things unless they let us do them. But now we're in a position where there's something they want from us. Normally, there isn't something they want from us. There's something we want from them. But there's something they want from us. They would really, really, really like us to expand in some format or another. They're probably less particular about precisely how we expand if we're providing coverage to people in this hole. So I think there are opportunities to craft a program which people could come to a solution with. But I think it's going to take a lot of weeks of negotiation that we're not going to see.
All right, and let's talk about that, because that's where we're entering in a few weeks, November 7th to November 21st. Governor Haslam has called for a special session on this issue. Someone said on the New Hampshire News Roundup last week, Representative Rosenwald, this is going on right now. By the time a bill is presented on November 7th or whenever, all the negotiations will be done. What sorts of conversations do you hope are happening right now as we get ready for this special session?
Well, it's my understanding that the governor and the Senate president and the Speaker of the House have been having conversations about this. I hope that we do have an agreement on a bill by November 7th when it's introduced.
And what's your sense of what Charlie said? I think it's real interesting that as time goes on, the federal government is getting, let's just say, becoming a little more lenient with what they're willing to let states do. What's your sense of that?
I think that's a lot of wishful thinking.
Really?
Some of those programs Charlie referred to are not Medicaid expansion waivers, but are other kinds of Medicaid waivers. They have been very clear that Medicaid expansion has to be to the entire group that is written into the Affordable Care Act. It's statutory language.
The 138% of poverty.
Well, yes, it's 133% with a 5% disregard. But I'd like to address the $20 million, or Charlie said it was $40 million a year. It's really more like 20, but there is added revenue that lowers the net state cost. Plus, there is about $80 million a year of less uncompensated care that will be delivered by our hospitals, our mental health centers, and our community health clinics.
So, charity care that they provide now.
That's exactly right. They will have to provide about $80 million a year less of that. So in terms of looking at our entire health system, there are a lot of moving pieces, but there's a lot of benefit to this as well.
Charlie, go ahead.
Well, there are some offsetting costs. I think that some of the offsetting costs are also hopeful. Some of the offsetting costs are going to happen whether we do anything or not. There are some changes to the system where some of those savings are figured in. On the department spreadsheet that they showed us, there's a number on it, which is basically the cost of if you do this, it will cost this, which is about $36 million a year. And again, it's a sketchy number. It's based on a mid-range estimate. And frankly, if we have a wraparound coverage, more people are going to go than that. And we can cover people up to 138, but cover them differently. The federal government has gotten more flexible every month. The question is how much more.
All right. Well, for sure, we'll be looking at this again when that special session comes up in November. I want to thank both of you very much for coming in today. I really appreciate it. Representative Rosenwald, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Charlie, nice to see you. Thank you also for your time.
Thank you.
This is NHPR. We're going to check in now real quick with our fall membership campaign.
You count on The Exchange, NHPR, and NPR to be your window to the world, and we count on your contributions to keep that window open. So please, give now at 1-888-805-6477, or you can give online at nhpr.org. It's our fall fund drive. I'm Amanda Loader, and here's Michael Brindley with more.
We have $1,000 to go to reach this hour's goal. We have about 5 minutes left. That's $1,000. That's 10 calls at $100 apiece. Do your part. These goals are extremely important to stay on track to meet our overall goal for this membership drive. This is your last chance to get in before the end of the hour to donate directly toward The Exchange, the program that you rely on for healthy discussion of issues in the Granite State. Give right now. Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
And we have now got that goal down to $900. We need $900 here in just about 4 minutes to stay on track for this hour and keep us on track to wrap up this pledge drive on time. You know, the conversation we heard today on the exchange about Medicaid expansion, that's a great example of the kind of conversation you only hear on NHPR. So please take 2 minutes before Diane Rehm comes on to keep stories like that on your radio. Your annual support makes it all possible. So please make your gift right now at 1-888-805-6477 or by going to nhpr.org.
We have $900 to go this hour, about 4 minutes left. This is your chance to sustain the exchange, to sustain the programming that you love on New Hampshire Public Radio by becoming a sustaining member. Maybe it's $10 a month. Maybe it's $30 a month. Those also get you into our two last giveaways of this membership drive. We're giving away a MacBook Air laptop tomorrow at 9 a.m. and a $1,000 Amazon gift card tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Those are our last two giveaways. This is your chance to get in on those drawings, to help the exchange continue into the months ahead. Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or contribute online at nhpr.org.
You know, maybe you haven't given to NHPR before. That's okay, but now is your time because first-time members are important because we are a grassroots organization at our core. Some money comes from the federal government, a very little amount, but the financial support from listeners of $5 or $10 a month on the Sustainer Plan, that adds up to the single most important portion of our operating budget. Your gift really does matter, and if you're a first-time looking at being a first-time donor, first-time pledge, you know what? That's okay. We want to hear from you. It's exciting. It's wonderful. So please give us a call right now at 1-888-805-6477 or go to nhpr.org.
If you want to dip your toes into giving to NHPR, how about starting out with $5 a month? That's what, a cup of coffee a month? That also gets you our great thank you gift, the NHPR Chico Market Bag. It's lightweight, durable, folds up small enough to fit in your hand. You're in the grocery store market basket. People see that you give to NHPR, and they're jealous. They want to be part of that, and you're already part of that group. So why not give right now at 1-888-805-6477. Show off your love for NHPR. Contribute online at nhpr.org.
And we've got 2 minutes to go now to make this $900 a single Leadership Circle pledge of $100 a month. That would wipe that out and keep us right here on track to wrap up this pledge drive. $900 in 2 minutes is what we're looking for. NPR News actually costs NHPR $344,000 each year. That's a lot of money. And we don't expect you to pay the entire bill, just what you can afford. Maybe that's $10 or $15 a month on the Sustainer Plan. Maybe it's $100 a month as part of the Leadership Circle. However you cut it, please just give us a call right now and make the gift that feels right for you at 1-888-805-6477. Or you can also make a secure web pledge at nhpr.org.
$900 to go. The clock is ticking away. We got about a minute left this hour. You can help us meet that challenge. Give us a call right now. That's 9 calls, $100 a piece. Do your part. Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 by calling and contributing right now. Not only do you help us meet that hourly goal, you get in on those last two giveaways, the MacBook Air laptop and the $1,000 Amazon gift card. Contribute online at safe and secure at nhpr.org.
Public radio, it's more than simply news stories. It provides context for the news. It gives you perspective on the day's events without being yelled at or insulted. And you get to hear in-depth conversations with purpose, like what we heard on The Exchange and what we're about to hear on the Diane Rehm Show today. So support those kinds of efforts and give us a call right now at 1-888-805-6477. Once again, that phone number is 1-888-805-6477. You can also give a secure web pledge at nhpr.org. And thank you so very much for your support.
The Diane Rehm Show coming up next on NHPR, where support comes from you, our members, during our fall fund drive. And support also comes to us from the Palace Theater in Manchester, presenting Monty Python's Spamalot, the musical that raises silliness to an art form, November 1st through the 16th. Tickets at palacetheater.org. And Crotchet Mountain Rehabilitation Center in Greenfield, New Hampshire, offering immediate openings in